Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter Breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Posen, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolten. Really, I've never been here.
And you, I'm now doubting that, because you made such a big deal out of it. Anyway, you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you've been cleared to know the truth. So I was thinking of, just in the, kind of the spy game here, trying to do this podcast in Spanish. But I didn't realize that they had not gotten my voucher to me, so I couldn't sign up for the Rosetta Stone classes.
You haven't taken the classes?
Yeah. So I gotta call S.H.I.E.L.D. HR. S-H-I-E-L-D-H-R.
HR. Yeah. Is it H dot R, right?
It is H dot R.
It's on a big sign right
strange,
now outside the
right.
door. Well, I did not take the Spanish classes. I'm relying on Google Translate, but I did see Agent Ward, and he gave me some powder and the... I'm feeling good. Ready
Whoa.
For the show?
All right.
Yeah. As it was a dusty kind of thing. It made me sneeze a little bit, but I'm feeling okay.
He probably is a big fan of Kansas, I would assume. Dust in the Wind. So...
Yes. Yes,
we'll
I think
see.
He is.
Actually, I think that is one of the upcoming episodes, though. But why don't you let everybody know what episode we are focusing on tonight? Because, there's the you and me and teamwork and all that kind of stuff. That's how
it is. I will be a big team on this. We will put the I in team.
Excellent.
This is episode 17 from season 3, The Team. April 19th, 2016 is when this aired, and we all got together as a big group and helped each other out and won one for the Gipper, or the Hiver, I guess. It was written by DJ Doyle. I always want to put a jazzy in the middle there. directed by Elodie Keen.
I'm not familiar with that director.
A cool name, though. Elodie or Elodie. I don't know.
Yeah,
that is
I don't
know.
Cool either way, I would think. So that's good.
Well, he wrote all about the team, and if you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can rely on the secret warrior to rescue you from the clutches of Hydra.
Oh, that is not where I thought you were going.
Oh, it's not? Oh,
no.
Okay. Well, Daisy and Lincoln, they go and retrieve Yo-Yo and Joey, or Yo-Yo and Joe. Joe, it's Yo-Yo and Joey. There's a lot of Y's in those names. To help them rescue Coulson and his team, who are trapped by Hive in Hydra's facility. Is it still Hydra? Are we still calling it Hydra?
Malik was calling it Hydra, so.
Yeah, it still kind of seems to be. Well, they got the tentacles going there. I think it's still considered Hydra. They make pretty quick work of the bad guys, too. They did a good job. And they managed to get everyone back to S.H.I.E.L.D. safely and even grab Gideon Malik in the process. So nice job on you.
Woo!
You got kudos all around. Not like compliments. We're actually giving them the kudo candy thing. But Malik makes them pretty dang suspicious of each other when he explains to Coulson that Hive can infect inhumans. Wait, what? I don't believe it. So Coulson quickly, but ever so quietly, locks down the base until they can determine if our new team is going to be a problem. It seems like the problem is suspicion, though. None of the Inhumans like being accused of being traitors, and they start getting a little irritable.
J'accuse!
Now, they'd never betray their friends. Actually, Hive has gotten to one of them. Daisy herself is the infected one.
Oh, no.
And with her strong abilities, it isn't hard for her to do some serious damage before escaping the base to attend to her new boss, Mr. Hive.
Mm.
Or is that Dr. Hive?
Dr. Hive and Mr. Ward. I have to say, this is a brilliantly written episode. It only really solidified with me the second time through, of course, when you kind of know what's coming and you can see how they set it up. But they made you suspect everybody, and not in that, I didn't feel it was like in a cheap sort of, oh, maybe this person's the bad guy. Maybe this person's the bad guy. Like Max said, you stare at anybody long enough, they're going to look suspicious. And
it's true.
They were letting you make the decision up until the part where Coulson says that it was Lincoln. I'm sorry. Please try again.
You know, I like that you said how the second time around you could really see how they wove this tapestry together, because I know we have such a strong feeling of spoilers in our culture right now. And this really kind of helps me to show people that sometimes when you know what's coming, it doesn't ruin the story. It actually enhances it. You can see those nuances, right?
Oh, sure.
And not to say that it wasn't enjoyable to watch the first time without knowing them and kind of getting that surprise at the end. But I really do still strongly believe that for the most part, if a story is well written, a spoiler doesn't ruin the story. It might ruin that first experience for you, but it won't ruin the story itself.
And that is the problem, with some spoilers. Like, for example, if you were watching, say, The Usual Suspects or Seven or, you know, a movie like that that has a twist ending, Memento, you know, Sixth Sense.
Yes.
Knowing what happens going into it and not having seen it, you might be, you know, I think it actually might distract you because you're like, well, wait a second. No, I heard that, you know, so-and-so was blah, blah, blah. And so the whole time you're going, that's not what's happening. What? No, that's what somebody was somebody. Oh, I see what happened. And so the whole time you're kind of trying to make sense of what the spoiler is.
Uh-huh.
And you're not really paying attention and getting involved with the movie. So I know that actually I think Usual Suspects might have been one of the few films I watched, because I didn't see it till it came on DVD. Watched it, and then as soon as I figured out what happened, I was like, I immediately started it again. And that is, I rarely ever do that just because I don't have the time. But
right, and I do not. I still stand by my feeling that I don't encourage spoilers. It's not that.
Sure,
it's just that the strong negative feelings and reactions people have when they have heard a spoiler. I don't agree with that. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's not what you wanted, but let's go ahead and try to enjoy what we do have. So, anyway.
Yeah. Did you know that Captain America is also in this? It's like, oh no, I don't want to hear that. You know, it's,
yeah, that's, it's just a little over the top for me, but
yeah,
I would choose to just enjoy the characters and the story more. That's why I go into a movie in the first place. I don't go in for a climactic surprise. Because once you see it, that's over. You know, I'm hoping that there's much more to it than just that.
Right. You can only watch it the first time once.
Right.
And I will say that not even with films that have mystery or TV shows that have mystery involved in them or some kind of twist ending, the best films I've ever seen are ones that I have no expectations about and may not have even heard of. Like, you know, we'll be flipping through Netflix and it's like, what is this? Oh, it's got a couple actors in it that we are interested in. And so my wife and I sit down and watch it and it's like, wow, that was good, because I didn't have time to form expectations. I didn't sit there for months and months and months and read about how it was being filmed and who was fighting with who on the set and the fan backlash and all that kind of stuff. It's just, let's just go watch a movie, you know. So.
Yep, exactly.
All right, so Secret Warriors in Action. Secret Warriors Unite, I think, was the tagline they were going for this week. And it's been building since the beginning of the season, since they introduced us to Joey. And I got to say, I really, really enjoyed seeing the team together. It was neat how Daisy talked about how she had to get the band back together, and she was so impatient, you know, to kind of go into it. And they all pretty much clicked. You know, it was funny. We had the characters, you know, asking like, okay, what's the stats on this? It's like, we don't know. It's like, okay, well, how many bad guys? We don't know. So.
Yeah, they had good banter, good interaction between the characters. And then, of course, they had the action that all kind of worked together and you know, each little team member did their part in a way that wouldn't have worked by themselves. And it was, it gelled really well.
Right. And they had, you know, they had the team members team up with powers that worked well together. I thought the Joey and Yo-Yo piece was just great. Where, you know, he's melting the bullets as she runs out and puts the wristbands on everybody. And then Lincoln's got these powers that I hadn't even considered. Like, he's actually, like, grabbing people with lightning lassos or something like that and flipping them around. Had we seen him do anything like that before, like with Lash or anybody?
Well, I don't recall specific moves that he's done. I know he's thrown out some lightning and thrown people back or something, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's usually that big pulse of lightning, like the arc, and and either, you know, it hits them or, you know, shocks them, like when Observing Man was on the ground and stuff. But, yeah, like, just where he was, like, lassoing the guy's leg with it and kind of flipping him up into the wall. I thought that was really cool. But, obviously, that is short-lived. The team in question here, obviously, that's what the title of the episode refers to. I think it also is not just referring to the Secret Warriors team, but I think also to the S.H.I.E.L.D. Group in... you know, in the larger picture and everything like that. But the congratulations don't last very long because all of a sudden they realize that they've got trust issues. The team is flawed and their trust is broken. So I wanted
to... It's kind of a shame. I would have liked to have seen them work together more often so we could see these relationships a little bit deeper. And so when they stopped trusting each other, it meant a little more, you know?
Well, I have to disagree with that because I don't think that if they had worked together more, then it wouldn't have been so easy to undermine the trust. So, for example, I think Elena is probably, in my opinion, the weakest link out of all this. So Lincoln's been working with Sky or with Daisy. Boy, I haven't done that in a while.
Hey, what are you, Hive? Come on.
Sorry. He swayed me. So they've been working together for a while, but Elena is the one that has been around the least. Like, Joey had hung out and had been in the isolation for quite a while. And, you know, she's just kind of distrustful of the government and you know, people in power and stuff like this. If she had worked with the team for the S.H.I.E.L.D. team for any longer length of time, I think that she would know that Coulson's got her back and that Daisy is, you know, a stand-up person and, you know, Mac really can be trusted and, you know, so...
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. You're probably right. So it just seemed to happen so fast. And but I mean, in a situation like that, it's stressful. It's tense, and things are going to happen really quickly before you have a chance to really process them and understand what's going on. So, and I think, yeah, I suppose you're right because I mean, it seemed as if, well, knowing now what happened, but it seemed as if, you know, Sky, who's obviously been there the longest, had the most trust of Coulson and what he was doing. But of course that was all a ruse, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then Joey gets into this, predicament with this kill. So I thought that was a little abrupt, but also something that he's got to deal with. So, I wanted to have, you know, talk to you just a little bit about that. What do you think, Joey? What's going to happen with Joey on this, do you think?
Well, I mean, if they develop the character and continue to use him as a member of the Secret Warriors, which I hope they do, I think he'll kind of learn to deal with that. But I mean, the whole team tries not to kill. That's what Mac was making the point of with Elena, right? Is that they try not to kill anybody. Unless they absolutely have to.
Right.
Joey's just a guy. You know, I mean, he's just, he's not a soldier. He's not a secret agent. He's just a guy. And he hasn't ever really killed anybody, you can assume.
Do you think he was just reacting then to that?
I do. I mean, I think that's what he was doing. We didn't know it at first. And I think they kind of used that reaction for the audience to make it seem like he might be untrustworthy. You know, they kind of tried to give each character, each Inhuman, a reason for us not to trust them. So we wouldn't know.
Right. And then to seem suspicious.
Right, right.
So
I think they were just using that for him. But I do think that's a good thing for a good guy to have to contemplate and think over, because if you end up killing somebody and it's no big deal, does that make you a good guy? And we kind of talked about some of the things that Daisy had done last week that were questionable.
Right.
That, you know,
and Lincoln too. Right.
And Lincoln. Yeah.
So yeah. And for him to have to go through that, I'm sure they will not drop this, and I hope they don't. I mean, there's just a lot of interesting ramifications that can come from this, I think. So it's pretty cool. So let's see. So they were trying to make us think that Lincoln was the bad guy. And obviously, I think we were starting down that path based on our discussions from last week. Lincoln and his handling of James and his, kind of convincing Daisy to go along with it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the fact that they showed the scene where Hive saw Lincoln, you know, right when they had...
When they were breaking in.
Right, right. And he was kind of vulnerable to that.
Right. It was when he had the blood on his face and Coulson had told him not to engage.
Oh, yeah, but even like last week, that was a couple weeks ago, last week, and he was... was he hypnotized by the goggles guy, whatever his name is?
Lucio was this week when he got stoned by
maybe it was
Lucio.
Yeah,
when he came on the plane, that was right before Joey killed Lucio.
Right, right, right. That's what I'm talking about. It was this week. So, but right at that scene, we didn't see what happened at that point. Right after Lincoln got knocked out, so it could have been then.
Got
and
it.
So they really were giving us a lot of evidence to support that Lincoln was the one.
Right. And there was this him, you know, messing around with this ball and stuff like this. And then, of course, the ball is found in his backpack. Were you buying into that at the time your first viewing?
Yeah, I kind of was. I mean, I'm pretty easy to hornswoggle there. I'll admit to you right now. I believe a lot of things as they're presented to me. You know, I shouldn't, especially as much as we talk about these things and as much as they kind of
you're such a
trick
rube.
Us. I am. I really am. But yeah, I mean, it looked like it was going to be Lincoln. I should have known they were going to give us a little plot twist there.
Well, so here's what I was thinking. I was pretty much convinced it was Lincoln as well. Again, because we had kind of gone into a lot of depth and discussion about this previously, but I thought that the twist was going to be there were two people that were under control. So I thought it was going to be Lincoln and then, you know, like Joey or Elena or something like that. I wasn't quite sure how I was going to do. And actually, when Guerra was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, you know, they got away, and I apologize," and Hive is like, "Don't worry, we've got someone on the inside now." I'm like, "Oh, Malik, that's right." You know, it's like Malik's going to do some. They wanted Malik to get captured, and then I started thinking about that, and I'm like, "No, that really doesn't seem to make sense."
Yeah, that's like you said. They had so many intricate details written into this story, so much to think about as you watch it.
And speaking of Malik, we see that his vision does come to pass. He, you know, had witnessed his own death, and it occurs like, you know, we saw in last week's episode. I just think it's pretty incredible that you know, they are setting up and thinking about this stuff, it's like, okay, so now we know in like two episodes we're going to need to film this, but we're going to, you know, preview it here earlier. It's just very complicated how they
go about this. Yeah, they've done that for the last few episodes with those visions. But I mean, I think I wonder how long they have been looking ahead, because I mean, this whole setup and the eventual teaming of the Secret Warriors here, it really stems back all the way to last season with Jai Ying and the crystals, and
I
wonder how many of these details they've known about for a really long time.
I think there are ideas that they have that they go, we'd like to get to this. I don't think they had the intimate plot points.
They don't know exactly how they're going to get there. They just have an ultimate goal, that kind of thing. Sure.
But, I mean, we know – I mean, I have to imagine that when we came back from the Agent Carter, you know, mid-season break with Episode 11, that they knew exactly – because that previewed the space shuttle Quinjet explosion that, you know, is supposedly at this point I'm figuring is going to come at the end of the season. They had that scene already figured out, and I would assume they know exactly how that's going to play out, not that they just did that and are like, well, we'll figure out how to deal with it when we get there. I'm sure they already have had those last 11 episodes plotted out.
Oh, so, yeah.
So I was pretty excited, though, when we saw the reveal of how Malik died, because as we were talking about last week, you know, it wasn't a direct interpretation of what the character thought it was. I actually had implied that Daisy was potentially one of the causes of his injuries. Now, I could have foreseen this, but I didn't really foresee all this. You obviously had issues with Daisy's actions on last week's episode, as we had already mentioned. But, and so I was like, oh, slam dunk. We totally called it last week, you know, but
I'd like to say that I was right on, but
well, and I'm like, it's so true. 'Cause Josh, you know, you were talking about just Daisy was doing these things that didn't seem heroic. And I'm like, oh, it all makes sense now, because I thought when they explained it, that she had been swayed at some point when she was breaking into Transia Corporation.
Right, like on the rooftop or right before the rooftop.
Right, it was before the rooftop. It was just a scene we hadn't seen, and then they showed us the scene where he infects her. But then again, you know, I watched it a second time, and I'm like, oh no, he infected her right at the beginning of this episode. So all the stuff that she was already dealing with last week, those thoughts are in her head. And what I take about Hive's power is that he doesn't, it's not like he's controlling them 24/7, but it's basically like he's putting little subliminal bits of information into their brain, I guess. I mean, that's kind of the way that I theorize it here, so that they are mostly the character, but they have certain impulses to do stuff to please Hive or to do things for him. Or
Guerra and Daisy, they all seem to be themselves, but they are like convinced that he's right.
Yeah, they're more susceptible to his suggestions, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to put it. That's how it really seems, because it still seems like them. They are. It's not. He's not controlling them so much, you know. It's not like he is doing their actions, you know, like a puppet. He's just influencing them to do what he wants, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe he's unlocking some of their like their baser instincts or something like that. You know, maybe, you know, there's some things that Daisy did that she's kind of really always wanted to do.
Some of their darker desires, maybe.
Right. Because when she was talking to Lincoln, you know, she's like, we don't have to let them stop us. And Lincoln's like, but we do want them to stop us, right? And like right there was when I was like, oh no, I know what's going on now.
Yeah, as soon as she broke out or, you know, came to his little cell thing, that was about the time I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Well, and we've been seeing all of this, you know, dust flying out of him. We've seen it do two things. We've seen it go towards an inhuman, and then we've seen it, like, basically eat these people up. And I couldn't rationalize that. So that was really the only part that I was missing in, like, what was going on, because we just kind of missed putting together the whole mind control aspect with his particles, you know, on inhumans. So basically, if he does...
We hadn't really seen that, though. I mean, even with Guerra, he... When Malik was calling him, right after the rooftop at Transia,
yeah,
he said, you know, why aren't you by my side? And he said, no, I'm right where I was supposed to be. He didn't seem hypnotized. He didn't seem like he was under control of
true,
any kind.
But
so we haven't really seen anything like that.
Well, at the end of like two episodes prior to that, there was when Hive started to get his powers back, when I think he was still really skinny, but he was feeling better. You know, he was up to watching like four or five TVs.
Which usually drains the life out of me. I don't know how he did it.
Malik said something about, you know, he's got these inhumans and Hive, you know, I don't know. He had something else to say. And then he kind of lets a bunch of the particles fly off of him towards Guerra, or Guerra was in the room. We just never saw it.
Yeah, exactly. So we didn't know exactly what was happening or going on, but
right.
So that's they did a good job of concealing that until the right moment.
And just going back to when we were talking about Daisy busting in on Lincoln, I thought there was one really creepy part here that I thought I heard it the first time, and then I made sure to listen for it the second time I was watching it. She's talking to Lincoln, basically trying to convince him that she should break him out and that, you know, they're doing the right thing and S.H.I.E.L.D. shouldn't keep him down. It, you know, at no point does she, confirm that she's infected, but basically her actions do that for her. But she says to Lincoln, we care about you.
And oh, I heard that.
Since this is like a hive mind kind of thing, I'm like, that is just... That's just weird. That's creepy.
Yeah, so. I did notice that too when she said we.
Yeah. So, Malik did not appear to have been wrong about his vision. Do you agree on that? Because he had said he was pretty darn sure that Hive killed him.
Yeah. Well, you know, Daisy was pretty sure that Coulson was shooting at her.
Right, but I would argue that Hive did kill Malik. I mean, whatever he was feeling when he saw that premonition, I think that it's basically Daisy pulled the trigger, you know, basically, so to speak.
Yeah. Oh no, I agree. I mean, it was definitely Hive's doing that killed him, and to a point, because he was infecting Daisy or had infected Daisy. That he did it, yeah. But I think directly he didn't. I think Malik believed, and they kind of showed this in the episode when they showed the little flashback of Daisy walking into the room. I think Malik believed that it was Hive directly doing it. And then when they showed that episode, or when they showed that scene, didn't Malik say something like, "Oh, it's you. I should have guessed it," or something like that. And
right,
he didn't. He didn't panic. I mean, he knew exactly what was happening. He was ready. That's why he wore those clothes that day, because he's like, oh, it must be the day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's been wearing the same clothes. I mean, this picks up immediately following the previous episode, so he really hasn't changed or anything like that. Also, did you notice that Hive, at one point, I think when he was talking to Guerra, he called Daisy Sky.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Any thoughts about that?
The only thing that I could really come up with is that Grant Ward, not Hive, but Grant Ward,
yeah,
really never knew her as Daisy.
Yep.
You know, he never, he never called her. I don't even know if he knows that she.
I don't think so. I mean, he left the team at the end of season one, right? So they have not had any interactions at that point, and she didn't become Daisy until she had met with Jiaying and the Inhumans.
Well, yeah, and that was late in season two. Did she even? I don't even remember when in season two she started telling, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D., Coulson and the team and everybody to start calling her Daisy. I think that was right toward the end. And that was definitely after Ward was out of the picture with S.H.I.E.L.D. So I don't even know that he would know to call her Daisy.
But yet the writers remembered this.
And wow, yeah, you're right, they did.
Which I think is just great because it's like if he had called her Daisy, I think – you know, 95% of the people, actually maybe like 99% of the people watching, and there would probably be some crazy fanboys out there. I would have probably totally missed this.
Oh, I would have missed it. I fully admit. Of course, we've already established how I watched. But wait a second. Wait, that's a very, like you said, most of them would have, did I interrupt your thought?
No, go ahead.
Most of them would have not noticed it, and yet they did put it in there.
I said most of them wouldn't have noticed it, Josh.
Yeah, but they did put it in there.
Right.
And so maybe that's important. Maybe that's a key.
Well, it
to
shows us
getting her back.
What Ward knows and what Ward doesn't know, right?
Yeah.
So,
this could be like, you know, Star Trek Next Generation Borg kind of thing when they can do something that he doesn't expect because Daisy wouldn't suspect it.
There are four lights.
That was after the Borg.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Interesting. Oh, wow. That little name calling there might mean a lot more to it than people would suspect.
Well, one of my suppositions is that since Hive keeps, I mean, he's got the memories of everybody in there. So, you know, Will is in there. And probably has, you know, and so Simmons can probably have some kind of interaction with Hive. Ward at some point probably really still had some feelings for Daisy deep down. And so they may be able to exploit that.
Hmm. We haven't seen any indication that he has the memories of infected humans, right?
No, only the people that he – well, only the characters that he's taken over.
Right.
Right.
When I say that, because then otherwise he would know everything about Daisy up to this point.
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah, because there's nothing that said that he knew any more about Guerra or Lucio.
Right. So, okay. So I still think this is very important. I like that.
So how is – well, let me ask this question. Is Daisy – is she no longer a good person? Is this permanent?
I don't think this is permanent. I think this is more like how do you put this? I'm trying to think of an example. I can't even think of a good example to reference to compare it to. But it's almost like she's doing things against her will. But she can see the whole thing happening, right?
Okay.
As she takes down the S.H.I.E.L.D. base, she's aware of what's happening, but she's still kind of doing it. You know, it's almost like a second conscience has taken over, like the devil conscience on your shoulder, right?
Yeah.
Has taken over, and you don't have any control to stop it with the good conscience. So I don't think it's permanent. I think they just have to get through to her somehow.
Hmm. Okay.
What do you think? Do you disagree? Do you think
permanent? I don't think it's permanent. I mean, I don't feel that that's the story that the show wants to tell, to have another agent fall to the dark side, basically. But, I mean, actually, like, where else is there for the Grant Ward character to go after this, you know? So, maybe...
hey, we said that last time, so...
I know, but they're really bringing him up here. Like, if they have to get rid of the – I feel that Hive is going to have to be destroyed here. I mean, they might be able to hold on to him for another season and continue. You know, like, he'll escape and be wounded or whatever. But Right.
Maybe
now,
he'll just, you know, they'll get rid of Hive, and then he'll be like little boy ward, you know, and he'll just, golly, Mr. Coulson, what are we doing now? Again, writers, don't listen to me, please. I don't know what I'm talking about.
That would be horrible. I mean, just horribly bizarre. But no, I honestly think that they will find a way to bring Daisy back. But of course, you know, as a leader, she was already questioning her abilities and everything like that. Though, see, some of that was after the fact, after she had been swayed. So, I almost don't know what to believe.
What do you mean, like questioning her abilities after she'd been swayed?
Yeah, so when she came back, she was talking to May in the med bay about, hey, you know, this was kind of hard. Does it get easier? And May's like, no, it just gets harder. And at that point, she'd already been infected. Now, maybe she hadn't been fully infected, you know, maybe, but it's, no, I take that back, because it did seem to happen instantaneously when.
Yeah, I think it was either more of a ruse, you know, like she was just trying to be Daisy for May.
She did seem to, like, be trying to get information from May, and I did see that where she was like, you know, I think Coulson's lying to everybody about, you know, what's going on here. So, and, you know, May's like, well, you know, he may have a reason for not telling you exactly what's happening. But
yeah,
I don't know.
So well played.
Yeah. So the next 4 weeks, the final 4 weeks here, at AKA five episodes, are called Fallen Agent. So that's they're kind of running these together as like a little mini, you know, like a mini movie kind of thing they're putting together, which I think is a great way to end the season here. I mean, this is, you know, and maybe we won't get a resolution to Daisy's issues. I mean, it seems like she's really, this base has been standing for like, you know, 75 years, and now she's like totally messed it up here in just a couple minutes. So, yeah, they may not solve what's going on this season. I think we may have to be prepared for that potentiality there.
Yeah, it could be. That could be the cliffhanger. So, as far as the base goes, I think they're good. I mean, Coulson, once he gets out of the rubble there, he'll just, you know, he'll just stand up and say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there, and that it'll all be fine.
Like a good neighbor, damage control is there.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Damage control. That's what they can help out. I don't. We always kind of think there's going to be a big cliffhanger, but they have resolved the major issue at the end of each season. So I think they might do that, but, you know, send us off in the summer with more questions. Like, for example, what does happen to Grant Ward? You know, where are we going to go from here with S.H.I.E.L.D.? One thing that really is going to throw all this into the loop is Captain America, Civil War.
Right. I was going to add that in. It looks like in there's two more episodes before Civil War, and then the final three episodes are going to take place after Civil War. And how does the fact that obviously that's going to be in the news, how is that going to affect the agents and everything that's going on?
From what it sounds like, from, you know, just the show promotions, that it is going to have some effect. I don't think they're going to ignore it. I think it will make a difference in the story, and I think they are planning for that.
It seems like the show, any movie that comes out during the time of the show when it's on has an effect in some fashion.
A little bit. Sometimes they just
Guardians of the Galaxy didn't, but that was not an Earth-based movie. But, you know,
right.
Thor 2, Captain America 2 did. Avengers Age of Ultron to a very, 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 very minor extent, I think.
Yeah. They've mentioned it a couple times and talked about the effect it's had on Inhumans and things like that, but yeah.
So, finishing up with the Inhumans here, this may be kind of obvious, and maybe you may think it's a silly question, but is Lucio really dead?
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Okay. Well, that was not as obvious as I might have thought then. Okay.
Is that not? I don't think he's dead.
Well, they Okay, go. Let me. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, they made quite a big deal of him still being pretty dang warm for a corpse.
Right.
Zipped him up, put him away. You know, I mean, they're granted, it's a little breezy up top now.
Well.
But why would they have made such a big deal of his body temperature?
My thought for that was due to the fact that it was the infection, because he's got these little parasites that are still living in him and metabolizing or doing whatever it is they do.
Okay,
and they were what was given off the heat.
That does make sense, but they never came out and explained that.
Like you said, he is a little breezy. They did remove his skull and start poking around in his brain.
With Coulson too.
That is true. I know. And he's an Inhuman. I got all that. If they want to bring him back, they will bring him back. But this gives us a chance to have another Inhuman get turned that will have like stone eye powers or whatever he has.
Stone eye powers? Oh, I see. It's opening up the opportunity for someone else to do that.
Given Lincoln's intelligent design idea and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
I am still suspecting that we're going to see James again and that he will come into play here. I mean, that I don't think that was just a throwaway character.
I would have to agree with you on that. Talking about like throwaway characters, there was someone listed in the credits. There's a character named Kevin. Did I completely miss another character? So it was like the guest stars were Joey and Gideon Malik and Yo-Yo and Guerra and Lucio and then Kevin. Where was this other character?
Did I miss Kevin?
He might have been one of the, like, he could have been a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, I guess, there. Like, maybe one of the pilots or something. I don't know.
Was he the guy that got thrown by Lincoln's lightning lasso?
Oh, he could. Yeah, it's possible he could.
I don't know.
It would have been somebody else that had dialogue, even if it was just, like, one line. So, I don't know.
Maybe Kevin was left home alone and he wasn't actually at the base, but.
I don't know. I just was looking to see if there was another Inhuman we were going to get. And his name was Kevin.
I'm very curious about this now.
I may have to go back and watch it a third time.
Scour the episode. Yeah.
All right. So Fitz and Simmons. Huh? Nice. Let's give it up for them. Congratulations, guys.
Whoa.
They're moving way too fast, though. I mean, it's...
Take it down a notch. Oh, come on. Get a room, people.
Slow the roll. He is such a lovable dork. I
want someone to come in and teach him the ways of wooing a woman, because he ain't got it. he's even got the woman already. All he's got to do is
he just
got
to close the deal.
Yes, exactly.
And she wants him to close the deal. She's told him where to sign, and he's like, I don't know how to sign my name. That doesn't even look like my signature.
All right.
Other than being an incredibly intelligent kind of guy, you know, he's funny, he's charming, but, you know, he overthinks things, which is his detriment when it comes to interpersonal relationships or love. Reminds me of myself when I was an agent.
I can't honestly say that it's not a realistic portrayal of certain people. I mean, there are people like that. I guarantee it. And I had some of those qualities too. I probably still do. It's just that I don't have to sign a deal anymore. That's
right. There's milk. There's a cow. It's all free. Something like that.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and not use that analogy. Anytime soon.
You don't have to tell her that I was the one that said that. I mean,
I won't. No. Yeah, we'll keep that between
just
us.
Keep it between you and me.
Don't put that on the Facebook post. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I promise. All right, so we're left with a, you know, obviously several other little mysteries, like did, you know, who may have died on the team, and is Daisy going to, you know, be able to recover? Before I ask this final question, let me just ask this that just popped into my head. Does this change for you anything about the premonition Daisy has of a death, her death? The interpretation of that for the end of the season here.
Does it change it? I'm not sure that it does. Because I'm not sure where they're going to take her. Or I should say, I'm not sure when they're going to take her to the places we think she'll get, which is, you know, redemption or whatever.
Yeah.
Does it change it?
Does it change the way, because we know that Daisy is kind of, you know, on the side of the devil, whether she wants to be or not, does that change the way you look at that footage at the end with the explosion and stuff?
But they still haven't given me much to go on. That is there is Yo-Yo's necklace. At least we're assuming it's Yo-Yo's necklace.
I'm almost 100% sure that is Yo-Yo's necklace, but is it on Yo-Yo or was it on Yo-Yo at that point?
And we don't know uniform, arm, we don't know. So all I can say is that I think that Daisy was there.
Okay.
Actually physically there. Because she was the one that saw the premonition, I guess.
Yeah.
Every time that we have seen that, it has been the person that was there. They were, you know, a witness to the actual event.
Right. Right.
Whatever it was, even if it was misinterpreted. Mm-hmm. So I do still believe she's there. Now, is there somebody else there? I don't know. I don't know that this changed my thoughts on it any.
So my wife pointed out something to me, and I had to scream at her and curse her name because she put this idea in my head. For those of you that listen to our Arrow podcast, we knew that there was someone that was going to be in the grave later, and Josh, you had a very close personal attachment to Felicity not being in that grave.
Yes.
So, which you made yourself known, and you were going to be okay with it, but you really didn't want it to happen, right? So,
right.
My wife pointed out to me that, well, yeah, that's definitely Yo-Yo's necklace, but she probably gives it to, like, Mac, right? Because they both have the the religion as part of their belief system, and they seem to be pretty close. And I'm like, why did you have to put that thought in my head?
Jeez.
I am done with this show if they kill me. I am done with this.
I'm going to have to go into emotional therapy again for the next few weeks while I ponder that. Tell her thank you from me for that.
I will. Josh says thank you. And I'll say it like that.
Oh, no, Mac.
I know, right? I mean, so because he's growing on us, right? I mean, you the Whedons, they love doing this. They build up a character and make you love somebody, and then they just rip their heart out, literally.
Yeah.
They show it to you.
I mean, now there's ways I can cope through this horrendous speculation that your lovely wife has given us. But, you know, the other person that she seemed to have a nice little connection with this week was Joey.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
They shared the Spanish language, I guess.
Yeah.
With millions of other people, I know. But
I did love her telling Daisy that, you know, you're a spy, learn Spanish.
That was good. I like that.
That was great.
And, I kind of like Joey. I don't want to see him leave either, but I would be way more fine with Joey being gone than Mac.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
I will put this out. I wanted to, you know, just get your thoughts on this. And this has kind of been a controversial little topic of discussion as of late. But they seem to be using these opportunities to kill off female characters on a plethora of TV shows. So that was my other thought, is that is this another female character?
Yeah, but this doesn't have Greg Berlanti executive producing it, so I will respectfully decline that. But I do see what you're saying. The other thing is that S.H.I.E.L.D., the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, has got to be the most diverse cast for a sci-fi, you know, fantasy show.
It's definitely up there, I would say.
I mean, you know, and it's like I hadn't even – I think we had gotten an inference that Joey was gay in that first episode of the season. But, you know, they continue to show all these little things about these characters, and you know, they're it's a worldwide cast. I mean, you've got, you know, Chloe Bennett being Chinese American, and you've got these Spanish actors.
It's just culturally diverse, ethnically diverse. You know, it's gender diversity.
Yeah,
yeah. I agree with you. I guess you could argue
it's interspecies diverse. Yeah. Well, I mean, it is. Coulson and May are both.
They're older, right?
At least over 50, right? And oh my gosh, Powers Booth. I just have to say. Still rocks it. I thought this week his whole speech about Arabian horses and his daughter and kind of breaking down to in front of Coulson was just a phenomenal sequence. And I've loved that actor ever since I saw him in the Philip Marlowe series on HBO back from, I don't know, like the early 80s.
He is a really good actor. He's a good dramatic actor. He's... You know, he's got that voice thing going for him that he can go talk low and slow like this and make it sound dramatic. But he was great. I knew it was coming that he was going to die, but I was sad to see him go because he is such a powerful character. I got a text from my good friend Andy this week. He's watches S.H.I.E.L.D. and you know, he isn't always as deep into it as we are.
Sure.
But he really enjoys watching it and talking about it. And he was recently watching Avengers and noticed that Powers Booth was one of the
World Council
members of the council. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was excited to kind of see that. So I was talking to him a little bit about that. And I like that they have connected this character to that. And I will be sad to see him go because it's great.
Yeah, I do. I was sad to see Kyle MacLachlan go last season. They really do seem to get a higher caliber of kind of character actors for the show. And I'm really interested to see who they're going to grab for season four here.
Paul Reubens back in the scene these days. He's been in superhero stories. I'm just saying.
Right. And is he still on Gotham? Or
was he on Gotham? I don't even know.
They brought him on as Penguin's dad again.
Did they really? I didn't even know that. See, I'm not into Gotham. I've been watching that. So,
well, my final question that I want to have us do a little speculation on: what is Hive going to do with $960 million? And then also, I guess to that end, with this Kree ball, like, what does that do for him if he was a slave of the Kree, and now he has risen and defeated them. Boy, this is, you know, very biblical metaphors here, very much related back to the whole Paradise Lost discussion last week. I mean, Malik even mentions that he's the devil, but so we've got all this money that he's got access to now with Malik's death. He's got this ball from the Kree, and he's got a shield ton of Terrigen crystals.
Yes, he does.
what could his plan possibly be to do with? I mean, obviously, I can imagine him wanting to create more Inhumans.
I could see him creating more Inhumans, and you know, those Terrigen crystals will kill regular humans, right? I mean, the Inhumans that were created from the fish oil or fish products, I guess. That was just a minuscule amount, but we know that when you touch a crystal and you're not inhuman, you die. So he's got the potential to kill a lot of regular humans,
right?
Create a lot of inhumans. As far as the money, it was interesting that they mentioned it because he didn't seem to have much concern for the money, and not as much as Guerra did anyway. So I'm not sure what they'll do with that. But maybe just, you know, pudding for everyone. I don't know.
He seems to want to, you know, dominate the globe. So who knows?
He's got
the memories of all these people in him. So, I mean, he's got tons of inside info, you know, from this S.H.I.E.L.D. group that kept sending people up there and NASA astronauts and... Oh my God!
Yeah, and I think the Kree ball might play into his demise. You know, maybe they can use that somehow against him.
Maybe it's got like the equivalent of catnip inside, and they have to use like a little laser pointer or something to distract
yes,
him.
Exactly. That's the season finale right there. little anticlimactic, you know, but it was a good ride.
Well, so many questions, and I am my anxiety is up for the end of the season here. It's
as
it should be. It wouldn't be the end of a Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season without it being a little anxious.
So. Of course, yes. That's where they ramp up the action and the climax to get to the climax, and they're doing a good job of it this season, and they have seemed to improve on it every season since they've started. So I'm excited too, and now anxious.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Director Shepherd.
So yeah, sorry about that. Hey, one other thing I just want to point out that I thought this was funny, and I did not know what it meant because as Coulson put, he was a C and E Catholic. And not being a Catholic myself, I actually had to go look that up. Were you familiar with this phrase?
I am not, no.
So I looked it up, and what it means, you know, so Malik asks Coulson, is he a religious man? Because they were talking about the devil and all this kind of stuff. And Coulson responds that he was a C&E Catholic, like, duh. It seemed funny just the way he delivered it, but when I looked it up, it means Christmas and Easter. Those are the only two days that they go to church. So it really, it means he's a Catholic, but not really. So
yeah.
that makes it even funnier.
Churches are so crowded on those days.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, Josh, great discussions. The culmination of a lot of pieces here. I feel like we've closed off, you know, this one arc of the story, though, you know, very much they're piecing these shows together like comic chapters. You know, it's like we got some stuff. There's still some mystery out there, but that's what's going to tie us through into the next group of four or five episodes here. So I had a great time talking with you about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. again this week.
I did as well. Thank you very much. We hope you guys enjoyed listening to us, and we would love to hear from you, especially some feedback on iTunes. Just pop on over there on iTunes. You can do that from your mobile device or your computer. And if you want to contact us and let us know how you're feeling about it, and if you need some emotional support now that you're thinking about Mac, you can email us, shield@randomchatter.com. Or you can get on Twitter and find us at Agents Podcast or our Facebook page, facebook.com/Agents Podcast.
And you can also check out the other podcasts Josh and I host, including Green Justice and Arrow Podcast, which is still on hiatus for another week, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash Podcast, which does return this week, all via the randomchatter.com website, which also has some other really interesting shows on it now. Please feel free to go over there and check that out at randomchatter.com. All shows are also available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you're enjoying our podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us because that's the best way to spread the word of mouth there. We don't want to sway you unnecessarily, but if you do feel like talking about it, that would be awesome. So for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7.
This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.